an angry bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, hello. This is Diane, and welcome to Conversations with Eagle Flower, this 18th day of November 2020. Listeners of Revolution Radio come from far and wide, from many cultures, creeds, and nationalities around this world. We all come to this table of life to learn from each other in the best possible way. We acknowledge that no race and no person is better than another. We all experience this gift of life from our mutual creator. And thank you for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us here. We are a listener-supported station. And thank you for supporting us by listening to our various presentations. Of course, I need to give a special shout-out to all the chatty chatters of Rev Radio, and to all of our furry and feathered friends. Round and round we go. Do we spiral up or go around? Making our path deeper and deeper, no longer seeing the sky overhead and go further below. Last week on Veterans Day, I presented a personal look at war and its consequences. We live with those memories seared into our cells and very souls and continue our lives with that baggage until we learn to let it go. War, what is it good for? Today, we are surrounded with chaos. This chaos, this pain, electrifies everyone on this planet. And as we may or may not see, this outer chaos mirrors back to us what we must address in our own personal way. It is an opportunity for each of us to clear out as much internal baggage, those hidden closets, as we possibly can. Yes, both inner and outer. Many see the enemy out there, and ignore the enemy within. Right now, this world is challenged with both. Do many refuse to acknowledge that both enemies must be dealt with? Remember, what we deem as enemies are those aspects that we have not acknowledged and moved beyond. Are they enemies or very difficult attempts to get our attention and to learn how to master them? How we accomplish these challenges is the quest. Do cool heads prevail, or do we all go crazy? It is our choice. So often I ask, okay, after you kill all of the bastards, what then? What is our plan? We are so conditioned into thinking and believing that a hierarchy is necessary to regiment us. Frankly, in several decades, we have lost many things attributed to humanity as our Creator-given rights. Do cool heads, minds, and hearts have a plan? What is the source or reference to any plan? Here are some interesting quotes from interesting people. What we learn from history is that people don't learn from history, Warren Buffett said. It is not often that nations learn from the past, even rarer that they draw the correct conclusions from it, says Henry Kissinger. I wonder sometimes whether men and women in fact are capable of learning from history, whether we progress from one stage to the next in an upward course, or whether we just ride the cycles of boom and bust, war and peace, ascent and decline. And that was said by Barack Obama. The often quoted George Santayana says, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Okay, so what can and should we learn from thousands of years of wars? Do we continue reacting to their jibes, their methods of divide and conquer? What is it that we are not learning, and why? Alvin Toffler says, "The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn." Well said. And this is the final quote. Steve Jobs says, "Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary." For example, how can we call ourselves humanity when we gleefully express ourselves in the most vulgar of ways? We give ourselves excuses by saying or implying that this is freedom of speech. Really? With every freedom comes great responsibility to self and to others. It is time that we stop rationalizing our errant foibles. A culture so debased may not find its way out of the deep cavern it has dug itself in, unless we individually strive to improve ourselves. H. Jackson Brown Jr. said, "Live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you." And that's certainly something for us to remember, isn't it? We have responsibility to ourselves and to others, especially to our children and grandchildren. What remnants of culture do you cherish to polish up and pass on to your next generations? And Confucius says, "The strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home." Our character, integrity, and honesty flesh out the person who walks his talk. What image do you want to set up for yourself? Forget about what others might think. How we go about living and dying is a very personal issue. And a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. says, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Are we ready to deal with these inner and outer wars? Can we actually learn from them and move on with greater insight and wisdom as a unit of humanity? This is our opportunity to fulfill and become the best that humanity is meant to be. The primary intent of my shows is to illustrate my personal experiences. It is not meant to parlay dogma, but rather for some listeners to connect with a certain phrase or topic that allows you to search and to query your personal journey. If you can learn anything from one who once called myself the great sabotager, self-sabotager, then these conversations with Eagle Flower have purpose. Do we deal with life's challenges as a crisis or an opportunity? Now I will read Fear and Separation, which was back again in 2013. And there was much that was going on at that time in my life. I've briefly explained it at another time, but my whole inner and outer world was totally falling apart. And there was a time where I realized that as I had to let the outer belief systems fall away from me, I also needed to really experience what seemed to just be befalling me. And that is also the time when I spoke of, I believe it was the last show or two, of the pressure like in a champagne bottle ready to explode. Anyhow, fear and separation is directly related during that time period, and I'll begin. During my recent sojourn of grieving, sobbing episodes, I later came to realize that fear was an integral part. But fear was was not the initiator or the cause. At random times, I could be triggered by a word or a thought and immediately began to sob from the deepest part of my soul and heart. This process lasted intermittently for about 6 weeks. These sobbing episodes came from deep within my heart, gut-wrenching in an instant. Then, leave rather quickly. I was not left with lingering depression. However, I was left with wondering what was happening and why. The initial phase was of feeling deep loss. This deep feeling of separation led me down a path of tracking down various issues in my life that may have been the source of such grief. None of these memories made sense as to the deep releases of pain. I went through a litany of things such as loss of love from loved ones, loss of financial stability, difficult work situations, and so on. Yet none of these memories seemed to be the ultimate reason for the sobbing episodes. One day I noticed a transition. I sensed a deeper reason. This reason went so far back into my soul consciousness. I had read about the souls grieving when they realize that they will lose the memory of being and experience the pangs of separation. It hit me that this is what I was experiencing. This soul memory of loss, of separation, of feeling incomplete, I felt the loss because of not retaining the memory of being whole. Most of us are not gifted with that in our lifetimes. You know, I want to interrupt here for a second because there was at different interludes, I also further down the weeks that this was progressing, realized that I was somehow letting go of previous lifetimes that I had no knowledge of. of the grief. At times I was experiencing such anger. I never in my life had ever felt such anger. It was quite an experience for me. Going back to the writing. Take this a step further. This searing pain is how we come into this world. With the pain and separation evolves fear. Fear is the result of an action. Fear is a reaction. And we become perfect candidates to have other layers of fear fit over this soul fear of loss and separation. Add on more fear porn for a lifetime. Is there any doubt as to why it is so easy to control the levels of fear and panic in a population? The imprint of fear was made when we separated from our creator of all that is, to come blindly into the world. To add insult to injury, we also came without the memory of our past. In a different world construct, this initial pain of separation could quite possibly be assuaged. But in our present world of domination, emanating fear, that is a three-dimensional life for many, until they scrape away the built-up crust holding all of this inside. What results from this but anger? Usually this anger is turned within to the self. Self-punishment, self-sabotage are the typical weapons of choice. These are cunning weapons that create their own bubble in our minds. What is real? What is not? Paranoia, feeling stuck, depression, anxiety, self-victimization are just a few of the litany of side effects. If we don't wear ourselves out, we eventually beat ourselves down far enough to begin to ask the correct questions and slowly work ourselves out of this hole that we have so skillfully dug. And I might add in here to remember what I just said earlier about what is the context of the world showing us right now. What is it mirroring to us that we should and must learn? These questions take many forms, but we must take a new position, stand in a different place, and get a new perspective for any of this to make sense. Then we begin that long journey back to connectedness, one step at a time. Eventually, the goal of just being is the prize. Now, how to do it? I missed a paragraph in here. As we go along in the path of life, we do not feel the grief that lies within. We are not meant to feel it. But it is time for some, for many actually, to now experience it. We are at a crossroads of humanity. For those who can stomach it, they must go through the stage in this stage intact. They are to taste the bitter vetch. This bitter taste of bile brings one to the understanding that all is not well within them. They must purge themselves of their inner poisons. Now, how to do it? Start by going within. Connect with your higher self. Ask your higher self for guidance, and it will show you. It will show you where to walk along this treacherous path within. Trust is the word for today. Trust in yourself, your greater inner self. This inner self is at the heart of the matter, isn't it? Heart, yeah, we have one. We each all, every one of us does. The lower heart speaks to our mind. The higher heart speaks to our soul. Each must bond the two together. They are as one needing to be binded again. Speak for the soul, and this is a message to me. Speak for the soul, little one. Speak from the heart. Praise amongst you, and praise be to all of you. And this figure was chanting to the sun with a walking stick in her left hand, extended up to the sun. And goes on to say, much will come in, but for now, have a good day. Benno Amisi. I hope that writing struck you as much as it did me when I read it again. We truly are at the crux. And it is up to us. We have the responsibility of purging all that is not well within us. And each one of us has a separate path and separate things that need purging. And going back to the writing that I read to you called Footsteps, that is what we're doing right now. We are walking in darkness. And at a point, we begin to hear the other's footsteps who are walking in the same direction we are. So we do have unity, but for now, we are each on our singular paths. Here's another one about that. In fact, this was much earlier as I look at it. It was written in 1985. And it's called Fearing Versus Trusting. Whither thou goest, I go. We should be able to take great comfort in hearing this phrase, for it does tell us that whatever state of consciousness we so hold, there also can be found Christ love. We do not have to run from the latest fad of evangelism. We do not have to go to a certain sanctuary. We do not have to make over our heart before we can meet the Christ in our hearts. Whither thou goest, I go. Whatever fork in the road that we elect to take, we can find peace and love. There is always an option. There is never a dead-end alley. If we allow him, the creator of us, finds us wherever we are. This God love is always within us, but we must allow him to surface. We must still our mind. Be still and wait is another message that is not always easy to follow. Patience, perseverance, quiet mind. All of these qualities are necessary in order for God to show us his light. A more subtle aspect of patience and perseverance is trust. We must trust ourselves that we may trust in our Creator. How can we trust our Creator if we do not trust ourselves? To develop trust, we must still the mind of desires, emotions, greed, anger, lust, envy. To still the mind, therefore, takes patience and perseverance. We must learn to be kind to ourselves. We shall forgive our weaknesses. We shall trust our greater intuitions. We shall feel that this great Creator love dwells within every cell of our body and mind. Our Creator is one with us, and wherever I go, it goes. Fear has no place in love. To fear is the negative of love. Fear is restriction. Love is growth. Fear is contraction, like a muscle. Love is the stretching of a muscle. Do not fear the unknown, a great master has said. The unknown or the future will always be in the future. It is best to look only at the now, at today, for we can deal with today. We can handle the events of today. The whole picture of tomorrow can seem insurmountable, but just a small slice of today is manageable. We truly never know what tomorrow shall bring, so why worry about it? Fear is the negative of trust. To trust and believe in self or in others is the reverse of fear. By trusting, we are actively showing love. Demonstrating trust is knowing that all turns out well. What happens when fear takes a stronghold on our thoughts? We erase the smooth road ahead of us, turning it into a bumpy one. The potholes and ruts create further tension. Our mental muscles restrict, anticipating the next bump in the road. Our focus turns to negative anticipation and more fear. Fearing that the worst will happen sets the scene for the worst to indeed happen. Fearing the unknown opens the door for further negative emotions to develop. The stress and strain induced by fear thoughts attract feelings of inferiority, self-doubt, fatalism, and much more. The result of fear is failure. Love is stronger than fear. To focus on love, on trust, and on belief that everything turns out for the best is to embrace today with knowing all is well. We become our thoughts and beliefs. We are what we think. So think with love and belief. Live for today. The day has just begun. Well, I hope you got some information or some thoughts from that. After the break, I'm going to go into reading the Seven Arrows called The Flowering Tree chapter. So in the meantime, I want to remind everyone that, yes, you are listening to freedomslips.com. And we do have a lot of people from out of country, and we're so glad to know that you're around. We continue to offer the archives at no charge at this time. And please make use of the archives. But remember, I'm challenging you, all the listeners, if you're able to become a patron member. And if that doesn't suit you and you are able only to do a one-time donation, that's perfectly fine too, isn't it? For those of you who would prefer to do any type of donation by check or money order, Terry Ackerman's mailing address is at the bottom of each of the pages in the website. And be sure to address it out to Revolution Radio. So, I see that we're busy here in chat, and I just wanted to give you all a shout out again, and thank you for listening, and I hear the music, so I'll see you on the other side.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine become so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, Karl Marx here. Look at my wonderful hair. Notice how I sweep it back.
Karl?
I call it the 360 sweep. Beard, sideburns, and the magnificent coif.
Karl!
What? What is this?
You're on the radio. They can't see you.
Oh, yeah, I get confused.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss important topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock. For This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow. Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to Conversations with Eagle Flower, and I'm certainly glad that you're able to stay and remain for the second part of my presentation. Several shows ago, I read a little bit from the book called Seven Arrows by Jaime Yost Storm, and little did I know that the first chapter was called The Flowering Tree. And why this is so interesting is that on three separate shows already, I've talked about trees and the importance of tree in different ways. And so here we go with another tree. There's a short quote I wanted to reference right now. Stories are our primary tools of learning and teaching the repositories of our lore and legends. They bring order into our confusing world. And that was spoken by Edward Miller. And here we go with the flowering tree. The medicine wheel circle is the universe. It is change, life, death, birth, and learning. This great circle is the lodge of our bodies, our minds, and our hearts. It is the cycle of all things that exist. The circle is our way of touching and of experiencing harmony with every other thing around us. And for those who seek understanding, the circle is their mirror. This circle is the flowering tree. When we experience the flowering tree, we hear the lightning flash within our darkness. Then we see the thunder within this illumination. The one speaks quietly to us, and the other sings to us of our learning. Together they become one song. This song they sing is the song of the coyote, the gentle trickster of learning. As the coyote sings, his song is echoed by many other coyotes. These songs, the teachers tell us, are the songs of the many reflections that live within all of us. For example, within every man, there is the reflection of a woman. And within every woman, there is the reflection of a man. Within every man and woman, there is also the reflection of an old man, an old woman, a little boy, and a little girl. From my grandfathers, I learned an old story about the coyote, which speaks to us of these reflections. I will now tell you this old story, which is also a new story. It seems that at one time the people were living scattered out all over the world, and each of them had heard about a very powerful person who lived in the river. It was said that this person could settle any problem, no matter what it was, because no one really wanted to admit to anyone else that they possessed problems. Everybody had to sneak down to the river alone when they wished to hear this powerful person speak. And everybody did sneak down to the river to hear the powerful person, but no one ever spoke to anyone else about it. Then one day, a little boy and a little girl returned from the river. The little boy and the little girl began to talk to everyone about their journey. It was a very strange thing, the children said. Well, what was it that was so very strange? The people asked as they gathered around the children, pretending they didn't know. Have you not seen what is at the river? The children asked. No, the people all answered. What was it you saw there? Have all you not sneaked down to the river just as we did? The children asked in surprise. Whoever said such a silly thing? The people asked angrily. We did, the children answered, becoming frightened. Never say such an awful thing again, the people told them accusingly. The children became even more frightened. They perceived that they were strangers even to their own mothers and fathers. This caused all the people to move away, leaving the little boy and little girl alone upon the prairie. That night, they were all alone and frightened. They cried because everything seemed to be so terrible. Calm yourselves, my children, a gentle voice suddenly said to them. The children looked to see who had spoken. Who are you? The children asked. It is me, the old man Coyote, the voice said. As he spoke, old man Coyote entered the children's lodge and set down a bundle of firewood beside them. And it is me, old woman Coyote, another voice said to them softly. She sat down and began to turn an arrow within her bow to make them a fire. Soon there was a warm fire and there was light within their lodge. Sitting across the fire from them were an old man and an old woman. Who are you? The children asked. They were now feeling better. We are your grandfather and your grandmother, the old woman answered, offering the children some buffalo meat. And we also are also the powerful person at the river, the old man added, offering the children some sweet foods. But we only saw ourselves when we visited the river, the little boy and the little girl said together. Yes, that is true, the old woman and the old man answered together. I do not understand this, the little girl said. How very strange, the little boy said. The people have all visited the river as you did, the old woman began, and they all saw only themselves, just as you did, the old man finished the words. How very strange, the little girl said. I do not understand, the little boy said. They too thought it strange, the old man answered, and they too did not understand, the old woman answered. Were you also their reflections as you were ours? The little girl asked excitedly. And they did not trust their eyes, the little boy said with excitement. Yes, the old man said, you are right. Now you must find the people and offer them these gifts. What are these gifts? The little girl asked. They are these two coyote robes, the old woman answered. Tell them to put them on and they will not be hungry anymore. And so the children did this. They found the people the next day and offered them the two coyote ropes. What are these for? The people asked. There are thousands upon thousands of these coyote robes to be had, they laughed. What we need to satisfy our hunger are buffalo and not these silly robes. Put them on, the two children coaxed the people. And as they coaxed the people to put on the coyote robes, they spoke to them of their vision. But this only made the people laugh even harder. Within this camp there lived two kind of people. One was a man and the other was a woman. They were living together in the same lodge. These two kind people loved the little girl and the little boy and wished to care for them. They both stepped into the circle of people and put their arms around the two children, adopting them. "I will wear one of the robes," the man said to the little girl. "And I too will wear one of the robes," the woman said to the little boy. The children gave their robes to the man and the woman who had adopted them, and the man and woman put them on. "There are buffalo to the north and to the south," the man said to the people, because now he could see them. "And there are buffalo to the west and to the east," the woman said, because now she too could see them. The people all became excited because suddenly they too could see the buffalo. "Let us hunt them in the north," some of the people said. "No," others quickly shouted. "The buffalo are much fatter in the south." "No, no," still others argued. "They are better in the west." "No, no," the rest of the people said angrily. "The best ones of all are to the east." "Please, please do not fight amongst yourselves," the man, woman, little boy, and little girl pleaded. "You are only tricking yourselves. Put on the coyote ropes and you will understand." But the people were very angry, and they would not come together in a circle to council. "Kill those troublemakers," the people shouted, and they rushed in all together upon these four who were sitting in the middle of the camp circle. But when they reached the center of the camp circle, they discovered that the little boy and the little girl had become a flowering forked tree. They quickly looked for the man and the woman who had just adopted the two children. But all they found of them were their tracks. They were the tracks of two mountain lions. These tracks were leading to the north. The people were so angry they struck at the flowering tree. "Let us follow those two lions and kill them," the people then decided together. They followed the tracks to the north to find them. They ran and ran until suddenly the tracks of the two lions became the tracks of four lions. These led the people in a great circle back to the flowering tree. The people sat down together around the tree because they were so tired, and they began to talk to one another. "Why are we doing this?" some of them asked to the others. "We do not really wish to hurt or kill anything," said some others. "Then why were you running?" asked still others. "We were only following you," those spoken to said in amazement, and they all began to laugh. Then the people all heard singing, and they looked up. There, sitting in the north, they saw a white coyote, and he was singing. They also looked to the south, and sitting there was a green coyote. She too was singing. Then they looked to the west, and sitting there was a black coyote, and he was singing. Finally, they looked to the east, and sitting there was a gold coyote, and she was singing. The people sat there quietly all together and learned these four beautiful songs. They were the songs of four lions. Then the people looked all around and saw that each of them was wearing a coyote robe. They put their arms around each other and began to dance toward the flowering tree together in a great circle. The people were happy. This story we have just heard has now become a portion of our awareness or understanding. Stories are like paths or ways. Whenever we hear a story, it is if we were physically walking down a particular path that it has created for us. Everything we perceive upon this path or around it becomes part of our experience, both individually and collectively. This particular story has within it many mirrors, which reflect certain realities that exist in all of us. Each one of these little mirrors, when we look into it as a whole thing or wheel, can be a teacher for us. So that you may understand this more fully, let us now experience the story once more in a new way. Let us open our eyes wide as we walk down its paths a second time, so that we may look into some of its mirrors and see the many images that are reflected there for us. This is a story that has been told to us about the trickster of learning. It seems there are times in each of our lives when we are not in balance with our brothers and sisters. We are unable to communicate with ourselves or with the world we live in. And yet each one of us knows of the powerful person who lives within us and who can settle any problem, no matter what it is. This powerful person is our spirit. But we never really want to admit to anyone or even to ourselves that we actually have a problem. So every one of us sneaks down many times to the river inside ourselves. This river is the spirit of the power of the universe. But when we go there to hear the powerful person, we usually are afraid to speak about it. That is, until one day the little boy and the little girl within each of us speaks to us about it. This little boy and this little girl begin to make themselves known in our minds. It is a very strange thing, these children say inside our own hearts and minds. What is it that is so very strange, we ask, not wanting to admit to anyone else or even to the two children inside ourselves that we know what they are talking about. But of course, the children within us speak again, asking us, have you never seen what is at the river? And we reply, no. And even though we know, we ask, what was it that you saw? We do this because we do not want anyone else to know that we have often sneaked down to the river like the children. Of course, these children within us are surprised and they ask us again, have all of you not sneaked down to that river just as we did? Whoever said such a silly thing, we answer ourselves angrily. Ourselves, the children say inside us. They're now becoming frightened. Never say such an awful thing again, we say to ourselves accusingly. And as you remember from the story, this makes the little girl and the little boy inside us very afraid. But it also teaches us something. It teaches us that we cannot trust ourselves because the mother and father that are within us are not able to communicate with the little boy and the little girl that are also within us. They are strangers to each other. And so we move away, putting these things out of our mind. We leave the little boy and the little girl within us there alone upon the prairie, which symbolizes everyday life. Within our time of night, which here symbolizes introspection, fear, and blindness, we know the children within us are crying and that they are alone and frightened. During one of these nights, while we are feeling lonely and afraid and wondering why everything seems so terrible, we hear a voice speaking inside us. The voice tells us to calm ourselves. We hear the voice say to the children inside us, calm yourselves, my children. And we, like the children, look to see who it is that has spoken. Who are you? We hear the children ask. It is me, Old Man Coyote, we hear the voice answer the children. And it is me, Old Woman Coyote, we hear a softer voice inside us say. Then we feel her turn an arrow in us, a teaching arrow within the bow that is our attention to make the fire. Soon inside us there is a bright fire. This fire represents the living spirit, either of a person or of a whole people. It is warm within us, and this fire illuminates the darkness that is in the lodges of our minds. Sitting within our illumination, this warm and living spirit of the people are the old man and the old woman. And these ancient ways speak to us, offering some food of the spirit to the two children inside of us. Every man and every woman is the Sundance Lodge and the living circle of the flowering tree. We, the grandparents, dance around you. There are six of us grandfathers. We are the powers of the north, the growing of the south, the changing of the west, the rebirth of the east. The law of the universe and its mirror. the law of the earth. And there also are six of us grandmothers. We are the marriages of these teaching ways. We 12 dance together in one lodge. We are also the powerful person at the river inside you. Then we hear the children say, but we saw only ourselves when we visited the river which flows inside us. That is true. The old marriage of teaching and the old teacher of marriage answer together. I do not understand this, the little boy says inside us. How very strange, the little girl says inside. And we hear the old woman and the old man say, all of the people come to the river and they too perceive only themselves as you do. How very strange, we hear the little boy say. I do not understand, the little girl says. They too perceive only themselves, and they too think it strange. We hear the old man within us answer. Are you then the reflection of what they are? We hear the little girl ask excitedly. And they do not believe in themselves? We hear the little boy say inside us. You must find the people and offer them these gifts of understanding that you now see inside yourself, we hear the old man say. But what are these gifts, we hear the little girl say. They are the understandings which you now perceive inside yourself and which you must give away to the people so that they may also perceive. Then they will no longer be starving for these ways of learning, the old woman said. Within their new illumination, the children find the people and offer them these coyote robes of understanding. What are these things for, the people ask? There are thousands upon thousands of these trickster coyotes. Their robes are everywhere, and they are much too flimsy to wear. Just hearing the howling of all these tricksters is enough, and they laugh. The two children coax the people to put the robes on, telling them of their beautiful vision. But the people laugh even harder. But within the camp of people, there is a man and a woman who were living together in one body. These two people love the little boy and the little girl that are inside them and wish to care for them. They show all the people around them that they care for the two children within them. The woman asks the little boy for his robe. And the man within that woman asks the little girl for her robe. The children inside this medicine woman give the man and woman their robes to put on. These are our gifts in wisdom and in trust and innocence, the man says to the people, because now he can perceive them. And they are also our gifts within introspection and illumination, the woman says, because now she has given birth to them and can perceive them. The people become excited by this illumination. Let us hunt these gifts of wisdom, some of the people say. No, others quickly shout. These gifts of trust and innocence are more healing. No, no, still others of the people argue. There are bigger gifts of introspection to the West. No, no, the rest of the people reply angrily. The best gifts of all are to be found to the east within illumination. Please, please do not fight amongst yourself, the man, woman, little boy, and little girl plead. These four represent the circle of the people. You are only tricking yourselves. Make this teaching part of yourselves, and you will see that you are all out of balance. But the people are very angry, and they will not come together in a circle to talk with one another. Kill the troublemakers, the people all shout. Then they all rush together, but when they reach the center of their circle, they discover only the twin reflections of themselves, the flowering forked tree. The people are so angry with themselves that they strike at this flowering tree. Then they quickly begin to pursue the man and woman who are the symbols of the teachers among the people. They discover for the first time the spirit and meaning of what these teachers represent. The signs of these teachers are the tracks of the lion, the symbol of balance. These signs teach of the north a place of wisdom. Let us follow those signs of these two balances and kill them, the people decide together in their blind anger. not realizing that they have been tricked into doing something together as a whole people. They all run off together in the direction of wisdom. They run and run until they perceive the signs of four balances and discover that they have run in a great circle and have come back to themselves. Even though the people are angry, they have been tricked into coming together as a whole people. And because they are now a whole people, they are able to discover their balance within the ways of the four directions. All the people then sit down around the flowering tree because they are so tired. And as soon as they have done this, they begin to communicate with each other. "Why are we doing this?" one asks the other. "We do not want to hurt or kill anything," others say. "Then why were you running?" ask still others. "We were only following you," those who now are communicating say in amazement. All the people begin to laugh. Then they hear sounds of harmony and they look up, wanting to perceive it. I think I'm going to stop there because I see time is running out. And I really thank you for listening. There's a bit more to this chapter, but trust me when I say that I had no idea that this chapter was going to talk about the very things that is on our minds right now. And if there's a way that we can bring ourselves together in unison with a quiet mind and strong heart, that really is the best that we can do for ourselves and for the whole world and humanity in general. I dearly wish you well for the rest of the week. Let us be, take some time and be quiet and in repose. Until next week, thank you for joining Conversations with Eagle Flower. Bye now.
Revolution.